Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, October 3rd, and we have Pistons basketball starting today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Got my Pistons hoodie on. It's getting to be those fall temperatures, so you're going to have to trust me on that I've got the Pistons hoodie on right now. But thank you for making us part of your daily routine this summer. We made it. We made it all the way through the offseason, and we're going to completely break down tonight's game with the Thunder. Just kidding. Well, kind of. But I'm going to tell you three things that I'm looking to see from the preseason opener tonight for the Pistons. Also still looking for your bold predictions for the season. And today we're going to be talking to Will Hunter, the new host of the Locked On Spartans podcast. I've known Will since he was a very young man, and now he's just a regular young man. And now your host for the Locked On Spartans podcast, your podcast for everything Michigan State. He will do a great job, and I recommend you giving him his show a shot, and he will be joining us a little bit later on today to talk MSU. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. Check that one out, and give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And I've been in Allen Park on Monday. I was on the conference call with Matt Patricia, Paul Pasqualoni, and Jim Bob Cooter today, so need to get that 1-3 taste out of my mouth and get ready for the Pistons season coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, Oklahoma City Thunder in Chesapeake Arena. I have been there, by the way, for an NBA Finals game. I went to Game 2 in Oklahoma City and saw the Heat take on the Thunder there. I don't know if I've shared that story before, but hung out with Mike Miller's family quite a bit during that one. I got a nice photo of me with Mike Miller after the game as well. I was rooting for the Miami Heat that night because the girl I was dating at the time was from South Florida, so was rooting for those Miami Heat. Made the drive over to Oklahoma City from Springfield, Missouri. But so that's my only Oklahoma City story. But anyway, now, what I'm trying to figure out, I believe you can stream the game on NBA.com, Pistons.com. One of those things where I don't think you need League Pass to get it. It won't be on TV or radio anywhere tonight, but like I said, I think it's one of those free reign things on NBA.com, Pistons.com, whatever, that you can stream the game tonight. So I hope you guys will be watching along with me and sharing your thoughts as we go along this season. So I wanted to share the first three things that I wanted to see from the Pistons tonight, things that I'm most excited and checking out with the preseason schedule getting started. The first one is obvious. Let's see Dre stroke. We've heard all about it. Maybe just run him off screens and get open threes for the first few possessions until he buries one. Just keep doing it over and over again until he knocks one down so we can get that kind of out of our system to start the first game. Who cares? Just do it. Just run him off a bunch of screens, have him throw up some shots until he knocks one in. I'm kind of half kidding, but I think maybe, why not? Why the hell? Just throw it up there, Dre. Number two, the rookies. It's the best thing about preseason in any sport. You want to see your draft picks perform. And I know the Pistons don't have a first-round draft pick going, but when you combine the kind of the tantalizing skills in a lot of ways of Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas, they maybe have the equivalent of one first-rounder there. So I want to see Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas in real time against real opponents. No reason for these guys to not get a lot of minutes tonight. You might see short nights for the starters, of course, and trying to preserve their energy and obviously keep them away from getting injured as much as possible. But guys like Brown and Thomas are the types of guys who need the preseason run, and plus an injury to a bench player wouldn't hurt as bad. So throw them out there, Coach Casey, see what we got with these rookies and see if maybe one of them or both of them can be contributors early on for the Pistons as the NBA regular season approaches here in a couple weeks. Number three, I'm not going to go with Reggie Jackson and Ernest Health. It's something that has been the biggest storyline around the Pistons for the past 3 years or so. Not really Luke Kennard's health either, but the scrubs. I want to see the scrubs. I use that term endearingly, by the way. Of course, these are all NBA great athletes and great players in their own right. So when I say scrubs, I just mean the bench mob a little bit there, the end of the bench mob. And I really am genuinely interested in who stands out of the Zach Loftons of the world, Johnny Hamilton, Keenan Evans, Reggie Hearn, all those guys, and throw Chris McCullough in there as a free agent that was picked up right before training camp started. The end of the roster guys. Sadly, we could probably throw Henry Ellenson in that group as well with the end of the roster guys. Is he an end of rotation guy or is he end of the bench guy? We'll find that out as the preseason and regular season gets going. But who steps out of that group? Who's ready to play? If you listen to the show, you know I'm a Zach Lofton guy for some reason. He's just my guy out of that group. And I haven't really seen Keenan Evans really play at all. So I'm interested to see the Texas Tech rookie two-way guy and see what he's got up against some NBA competition. I'm ready. We made it, guys. We got it through the offseason. We did lots of shows where there wasn't much to talk about, and it all solves itself tonight. And recently I was asked, if you're a Pistons fan and you're got some confidence going into the season, why are you excited? Why are you a Pistons fan who's excited? And I guess we could go the other way too. What do you think might go wrong this season if you're taking more of a pessimistic look at things? So here's my question to you. Either way, what's your bold prediction for this season? I already got one on the voicemail line from my guy Marco. I'll play that one for you when I get some of them more compiled. And I like Marco's thoughts, by the way. But what are your ideas? What's your bold prediction for the season? You will hear one from our guest, Will Hunter, later. He's got a good one that I think Pistons fans will like. But what do you think? So give us a call on the new Google voice line, the new Google voice line, or the text along to the number that works too, and we'll pass along your ideas. 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666 Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills. 810-666-1546. And like we've been telling you, Locked On NFL, that is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, you got the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays is the former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joining host Matt Williamson. Wednesday, you got Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus, the invaluable website for NFL writers everywhere, myself included. Thursdays, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, you got Matt's picks for the weekend as well. I will throw in the Locked On Lions podcast. Matt Derry does the crossover episode with the other Locked On Lions host every Wednesday. If you're a Lions fan, you have absolutely got to listen to that to get ready for the Sunday game. But up next, we're going to hear from Will Hunter, the new host of the Locked On Spartans podcast, a friend of mine, about his new listen for Michigan State fans out there. But Pistons fans, next week, a preseason home game coming to Little Caesars Arena. Can you believe it? With Vivid Seats, you can attend the game or the concerts or the shows at your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice last minute. Get those tickets. Get to Little Caesars Arena. You know you want to see some great live NBA action soon. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Best part about it, every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats says it all. Download the app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event, and I will see you at Little Caesars Arena this season.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by Will Hunter, the new host of the Locked On Spartans podcast. Will, thanks for joining the family here.
Yeah, happy to be a part of the Locked On family, and I can't thank you enough for having me on the illustrious Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm a big fan.
Quite an honor, I would imagine. You can find Will on Twitter at Will, just with one L, two underscores, I believe.
Yep.
By the way, are you stealing all the underscores from Twitter right now?
I'm like, that is such, I could go for hours just ranting about the person who has Will with one L underscore Hunter. They joined in like 2009 and haven't tweeted since. And they follow three people, and it drives me insane. So yeah, I had to use double underscores in between my first and last name just to have it make a little bit of sense.
I thought it was just a power move, but nonetheless, Will, two underscores, and then Hunter after that. Also, the On Spartans is the handle for the Locked On Spartans podcast as well. Now, Will, I know your background, but why don't you tell the listeners for our Locked On Pistons your background and how you got and fell in love with the green and white?
Yeah, so oddly enough, I grew up in Southeast Michigan in the 90s, and at that time, everything was Michigan, 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 and so I sort of went along with that until, you know, I was like 13, 14, somewhere in there, and then both my older brothers went to Michigan State, and the first time I went to visit campus, I just kind of fell in love with the place, the buildings, the architecture, just the entire vibe on campus, and from that moment on, I've been bleeding green and white. I went there for my undergrad. I graduated, a few years ago now. I started working professionally, like in college. I did some blogging and things like that. I wrote for the Times Herald for fantasy football column, little thing here or there just to get my feet wet in sports writing. Then when I graduated, I went to Marquette and worked in television for a while as a local news and sports reporter. Then I was a producer. Then I had my own local sports TV show, weekly TV show that I executive produced. And then from there, I moved to Grand Rapids, where I was producing local news here in Grand Rapids, where I currently reside today. And then a few months ago, started a podcast with my friends, and that and some help from you eventually led to me here in the Locked On Spartans podcast as they expanded into college.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a good move by the network. It's obviously a huge built-in audience there with the alums all over the country that don't necessarily get on the local sports radio or everything like that. And we all know how popular podcasts are becoming. So I think it's a perfect fit. So for people who are going to give the show a chance, what are the plans for the show and what can listeners expect as you go on here?
It's going to be laid back. It's going to be we're having a lot of guests. I like to consider myself kind of just a jamoke with a microphone, if you will, just like a random guy who has weird opinions that are like my sports opinions and sports fandom are strange. Like Nick Young is my favorite athlete of all time, Swaggy P.
And why wouldn't he be? Yeah.
It's just, and that's sort of the way I operate. And so I know with that, I need to sort of level the show a little bit. So I'm bringing in a bunch of guests, local beat writers, as much as I can to sort of give you the feel of the team and the good analysis that you're going to require from this podcast. And I've got a friend who does like bracketology work that we're going to have. He's one of the best bracketologists in the country. He'll be on with me. Another guy I know does film breakdowns. So we're going to have film breakdowns every week. We're going to have guests from, beat writers from opposing schools. Like this week, I'm talking with Caleb Friedman from Inside NU for Northwestern. I got something set up for Penn State. So we're going to do kind of like crossover podcasts as well. So there's going to be a lot of really good information, but it's going to be like I want it to be a really fun kind of community environment. I want people to really look forward to actually listening to the podcast. If they subscribe, they get that notification. I want them jumping in there to hear, the show. And I want people to contribute. Like I want people trying to sort of one-up each other with funny jokes about whatever happens, or I want good questions from people, and that could be Michigan State questions, life questions, whatever. I want it to like be almost like I say this a lot on the show. It's not my show. I want it to be our show. And so I'm really trying to, like, I'm just getting my feet wet right now. So I'm trying to, I've never done ad reads, and that's a new experience for me. So I'm trying to figure all this stuff out, but I really want to, as we go along, build this show out to be something that's really fun to listen to, really informative, and something that people just really look forward to getting on their phones every day.
Well, Locked On Spartans might be our show, but make no mistake about it, Locked On Pistons is my show. I control Locked On Pistons with an iron fist. I'm like a prison guard over here.
Sure you are.
So let's talk some football. The good news is with Michigan State, you got a basketball program that's perennially on top and a football program that's been very mm-hmm. good, obviously, for a good stretch of time now. But this season, not a great start to the season, but no harm done pretty much at this point, which is the one loss, and Big Ten playing starts this weekend with Northwestern. What's the biggest surprise about this team for you right now with that kind of how sluggish it's been?
The biggest surprise, I think, for me personally is just I hesitate to use the word regression with Brian Lewerke. But it hasn't been the steps forward that I think a lot of people, myself included, expected from him. And that's, there's a number of good theories out there. The offensive line has been bad. They're ranked 13th out of 14 in the Big Ten, according to Pro Football Focus. Their line averages 1.8 yards of push per run play, which is not great. That is second worst in the conference. And so that's been an issue, and there's a lot of theories like maybe Lewerke's not settled behind that offensive line. He's been hurried and hit a lot. He's been sacked too many times. The run game just hasn't been there, so maybe he's pressing to make plays because they find themselves in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, because they can't, get good chunk yardage on standard downs. So there's a number of reasons, and really there's been a little bit of inconsistency and some injuries at receiver, and the tight end position right now is just not what it generally is. at Michigan State. I think it took like to the third quarter of the third game or something for a tight end to get the one tight end to get one catch for Michigan State this season, and that's just different. What we're it's not the standard we're expected of tight ends at Michigan State. But Lewerke's lack of progression is what has surprised me the most. I had a bold call. We did some bold calls on my other podcast, The Three Gas Bags, before the season, and my bold call was that Brian Lewerke would be a top 10 draft pick, not because he's going to be a top 10 member of the class, but because he would be one of the top two or three quarterbacks eligible for the NFL draft by the season's end, just because of the steps he took at the end of the last season and just sort of his talent, his makeup, his ability. And seeing that, you know, we just kind of extrapolate that out on a straight line, and it's not always like that with quarterback development. So that's been it's been really surprising to me just to see. Seven turnovers he has leads the Big Ten. That's a category you don't want to lead the conference in. And it's just his accuracy's been up and down. Sometimes he looks like the best player in the conference. Sometimes he looks like he should not be starting. So that I would say that's been the biggest surprise for me, is his inconsistency and his lack of growth that we can really see so far this season.
Well, and I appreciate the Spartans letting the Chippewas back into the game on Saturday to make us feel good.
Matt, they always do. I know you've like watched a Michigan State game before.
Yeah.
A handful of them.
Yeah.
That's their MO. Like, yeah. I've seen them so many times get up 30 points on somebody, and then here come the backups in the middle of the third quarter, and you're like, no, it's too early, so don't do that yet. And then before you know it, it's 30-28, and you're like, oh, great, we might lose this game.
And that's exactly what happened on Saturday, but still, I don't think there was too many of us in CMU Nation that were really ever seriously contemplating the upset, especially after going down 31-3. But is there any word on LJ Scott and now Cody White as well? Do they expect those guys back, you know, this weekend? Or White's probably a few weeks.
Yes, so White's a few weeks for sure. I think 4-6 is sort of the official prognosis. Hands can be tough for a receiver. It could be fully healed in 2.5-3 weeks. And I've just, knowing this from breaking my hand before, soon as that cast comes off, you got to build up strength because your hand starts to atrophy a little bit. And with the receiver, that's obviously really important to playing the position the position well. So that might be a 4-5-6 week thing. LJ is a mystery. He's been practicing. He does warm-ups sometimes. He's might be playing. He might not be playing, depending on the day, depending on who you're talking to. But I think I think had Central Michigan been a college football playoff or a Big Ten championship game, you might have seen LJ Scott. It's just kind of been that vibe. So I'm thinking we might see him this week, and if not, for sure I would think against Penn State. Michigan State's tough with injuries. D'Antonio doesn't talk about anything ever on any subject except for overcoming adversity and chips on his shoulder. So it's something you're not going to get a good prognosis from him in terms of just good information. So you sort of have to read through the tea leaves. You got to read through the lines, read the tea leaves. I just mixed up my cliches there. But it just seems like he's been close, and it's been a question, a day-to-day thing, a week-to-week thing for long enough that we should be seeing him back soon. And it's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. But I know that when you get Coach D on the podcast, you'll get him to say some more interesting stuff than that.
I would easily crack him open. I know the way to a guy like that's heart. Like, we'll just start talking about defensive back techniques, and I'll have him talking about like opening up your hips on a back pedal and the proper technique for it and what angle you need to step. And then from there, it's just stories about drinking beer in college. It's one thing to the other. Effortless. I would crack D'Antonio open.
That was very sexy of you. Michigan, there was, I think we could probably edit that into something very erotic.
Yes, I might.
Michigan and Michigan State, obviously that's the big one for both schools these days. Michigan fans might want to pretend maybe in yesteryear that it wasn't as big of a deal, but now that they've lost all these big games over the Harbaugh era, that Michigan fans would admit, especially given that both teams are kind of on, they seem to be similar this year, that they have the one loss. They don't appear to be teams that are Big Ten championship teams at this point anyway, and or college football playoff or anything like that. Does that make this even bigger, especially given that Michigan State's dominated this stretch so far these last few years? Do you feel like it's maybe even bigger coming up this year than it has been over the last, you know, several years, I guess?
For whatever reason, during the Harbaugh era, there's been more pushback and more reluctance to give Michigan State any sort of credit for what they've built from Michigan fans. And a lot of Michigan State fans really seek that out. They won't admit it, but they do tend to seek that out. But Michigan fans have dug in their heels on Jim Harbaugh, and it's been, oh, now it's our turn again. And in a way you didn't feel with Brady Hoke, because Brady Hoke's not wearing a headset on the sidelines and he's just running up and down the sidelines clapping. And
maybe he's still there.
It just didn't feel as threatening with him. But given Harbaugh's track record, there was some validity to the concerns. Maybe, all right, Michigan's really going to overtake Michigan State and make this the big two little 12 now. So I think Michigan fans are really reluctant to give up on that notion that it's their turn. It's their time to be a power again. So yeah, I think with each passing year and with each Michigan State victory, and it almost adds more fuel to the fire that there have been some, you know, fluky-ish, like we had crazy weather last year, the year before Michigan State spiraled out of control into just chaos and terribleness with three wins. The year before that, a punter had trouble with the snap. So there hasn't been a really solid, like, two good teams matching up. Who's going to win? The winner is the better team. It's been some, like, it's been a little weird. And so I think, yeah, a lot of things are coming down to the season. And if both these teams, obviously, if they want to win the Big Ten East, they got to get through each other, because they both got to play Penn State and they both got to play Ohio State. So a win against Michigan or a win against Michigan State is an absolute must this season if you want to compete for the Big Ten East. And they're super similar teams. You nailed that on the head. They're both stingy defenses. You can't run the ball against them. A lot of talent on offense that just can't seem to figure it out, like can't seem to get out of its own way. So it'll be really interesting to watch these two teams sort of grow the next few weeks. And then once they ultimately match up in East Lansing, to see kind of where the chips, we'll throw the chips down and see where they lie, right? That's the cliche. I think this year there's a lot at stake, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know why you had to bring my Chippewas into this and throw them on the ground like that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And this is my first time being back in Michigan for the game for many years. So
yeah, out of the tropics, being around, right? The
atmosphere. Yeah, I was in the tropics and then Chicago the last couple of years. So looking forward to the Big Ten battle between those two, rivalry week and all that good stuff. So maybe I'll even get over to East Lansing for that one. We'll see.
It's fun.
Yeah, so what about Izzo's team? We got Winston coming back, Nick Ward, Langford as well, a decent group of freshmen coming in, but yet you lose Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson from last year. What would you say is the key from this kind of being, you know, the bottom half of the top 25 to becoming one of those special Izzo groups that is in the Final Four conversation come later in the year?
The way Izzo's really put it is he's trading talent for experience this season, and I think that's an okay way to kind of look at things. There's still a lot of good players on this team. Cassius Winston is a star. He's a great college guard. Nick Ward is, by accounts, has slimmed down, is taking on a bigger leadership role. We know he can score. There's still good players here, and I think it'll be a top 10 to 15 team in the preseason poll, and they're going to obviously face stiff competition early in the year. I'm really interested in the freshmen this year. It's a really sort of intriguing class. They've got like almost a unique starting five of freshmen coming in, with like Foster Lawyer as a point guard. He's small, he's undersized. The key right now is, can he get big enough? Can he guard people in college? But he can shoot the lights out. He's an absolute, like, everyone marvels about his basketball IQ, and he's just, you know, the old floor general. Then you got guys like Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown, who are really athletic, a little raw, can shoot. If they can develop into wings that can, you know, no one's going to replace Miles Bridges, but be high energy guys that can defend 2-4 and rebound and shoot a little bit from deep and maybe create off the bounce, that would be huge. And the key, this is the key to the team for me, and it's a lot to put on the kid, but Marcus Bingham Jr. is, he's quickly becoming not the Jaren Jackson's rise last year before he got to MSU. He jumped from like 50th to 9th in the final recruit rankings. Like, he really shot up there, and it was like, watch out for this kid, first round talent for sure. And you could see it immediately. Marcus Bingham Jr. is like that, but it's like a scaled down version of that. He jumped up in the rankings. He's number 66 in the class. But Myron Metcalf just had a piece out, and he had him as the 9th best freshman in terms of NBA potential. And he's 6'10", he's only 195, he needs to get bigger, but he's really long, 7'4 wingspan, and he can shoot it, and he can handle it. And so he's kind of this wild card. Like, how quickly can he transition to the college game? How quickly can his skill set become a weapon for Michigan State? Because, you know, a lot of people think that Jaren Jackson, myself included, was kind of, it wasn't used enough, frankly, last year. Does Izzo get a second chance with another talent like that to sort of use him as a difference maker? And obviously Matt McQuaid needs to take a step forward. A guy like Xavier Tillman needs to be a solid contributor. Kenny Goins needs to build on the success he had last year. I think it's an interesting team. I think it's a good team. I think it's going to help not having as much off-the-court stuff surround the program. I think that hurt them definitely last year at times in terms of Miles having to pay back the NCAA for a lunch his mom got, and then sexual assault allegations against former players and former assistants, and then the Larry Nassar scandals going on at campus the entire time. It was really a time of unrest in East Lansing for good reason. And so with that stuff not there this year, it's more focus on basketball. So it'll be interesting to see. I think there's definitely a team that could make a deep postseason run. It's usually the Izzo teams we expect kind of the least out of that end up surprising us, you know, the 5 seeds, 7 seeds that make it to the Final Four. So this could be another team sort of in that vein, a team that maybe lacks a little in talent compared to the last season, but is more experienced and is better prepared for, you know, a deeper run in March.
Well, I went to Moneyball once this summer to cover it for the Detroit News,
and
so I'm an expert.
Henry?
I am an expert on the MSU team because I did see those guys live one time playing scrimmage games. I'll tell you, the size things that you mentioned on all those guys is pretty true. Nick Ward slimmed down and just completely dominated Moneyball. He dropped like 55 at the game I was at.
He's a showman in Moneyball. He's throwing like crazy dunks and oops and hitting threes and like playing to the crowd. Yeah, he's a showman in Moneyball.
And I will admire the fact that Bingham, although he's, like you said, too skinny right now, he competed. He went after Nick Ward, got dominated by him, but at least I like the fact that he wasn't backing down. But Foster Lawyer was the one that stood out to me because I don't know if you've ever been to Moneyball there, the summer league that the Michigan State players play at, but there's a bunch of D3 kids sprinkled in there and some community college kids and former players and stuff like that. And I had never seen Foster Lawyer play. And when he showed up and was shooting around, I looked around, I talked to one of the other writers or some of the other fans I was next to. I was like, when is Foster Lawyer going to get here? And they pointed at him and said, that's that kid. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the kid. I mean, he looks like he's, you know, a freshman in high school or something like that. He's so small. And I tell you what, I'll be really impressed if he turns into the play. And obviously he was such a great high school player.
Yeah, player of the year in Michigan.
Yeah, the great pedigree from his dad being the former Pistons coach as well. And so, you know, we'll see what kind of player he turns into. But, I mean, wow, that size is something that he's going to have to overcome.
Yeah, they got Michigan State has, I mean, they got bigger. He's bigger than Tum Tum, so they got bigger at point guard. But yeah, that's and Izzo said that today during practice, or before practice, they had a little press, that the biggest thing for him to be able to get on the floor is who can he guard? Can he guard Big Ten point guards? Because he can do everything else. He can shoot it, he can score it, he can pass it. He scored like 40-something in the state championship game. Like, he's absolutely... he's going to be a cult hero, sort of is my prediction. Like, he's going to be someone that is so Michigan State fans are going to fall in love with Foster Lawyer, I think, if he can bulk up a little bit and be able to stay on the floor enough.
Like you said, I think going up against Cassius Winston every day is going to be a nice way to prepare him for the Big Ten and big-time college basketball. But Will Hunter, the new host of Locked on Spartans, find him on Twitter at Will, which is just one L, and then two underscores because he's stealing all the underscores from the rest of us, and Hunter after that, and the Locked on Spartans Twitter account at On Spartans as well. Will, any parting words here for the Locked on Pistons fans?
Andre Drummond is going to shoot 33% from three this year, and it's going to completely unlock the Pistons offense. That's all I have to say.
Hey, I think I don't know if there's a lot of people that believe that out there, but certainly there's a lot of us out there who are optimistic that, something like that could happen. So
I believe it.
Together.
I've seen him dribble through his legs on a fast break and throw it down over Kemba Walker's head. He can do it. I believe he has enough skill to do it. I'm standing for Andre Drummond this year. I think he can. He's like the key. Him and Reggie Jackson's health are two. Like, is this an 8 or 9 seed, or is this a 4 or 5 seed?
Well, we will find out together. Will Hunter, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And that was Will Hunter, the host of the Locked On Spartans podcast. Got to tell you about one of the other podcasts we got here. Locked On NBA never went away, and it is still here for you every single day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast every Monday. Got the biggest stories from the local experts, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. We got the big Locked On NBA preview coming up soon, where all the hosts are going to give their 5 to 7 minutes spiel about their team. I'm getting mine prepared for next week. So all sorts of good content coming to you from the entire Locked On network. In addition to Will Hunter on the Locked On Spartans podcast, we talked to him today. We got Isaiah Hole with the Locked On Wolverines podcast. If you're a Michigan sports fan, you just got to be listening to Matt Derry, myself, Will, and Isaiah, your Locked On State of Michigan team that we got going here. But also, support us in our other endeavors. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app for the tickets to the best shows and theater and sporting events out there. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime this season, and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event, and I will see you at Little Caesars Arena. And that'll do it for the show today. Thanks again to Will Hunter from the Locked On Spartans podcast, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow, breaking down the game one of preseason basketball for the Detroit Pistons. We made it, everyone. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.